All right. So Father's Day last year, I don't know if you remember, but I brought a rifle with me onto the platform. It was a 30-30 lever action rifle that I inherited from my dad. I had always wanted it. It's a model 1894. It's got a heavy octagon barrel and a lever action. I looked up the serial numbers. I believe it was actually made in 1902. And I used to get that thing down. I don't know if you remember. Of course, you don't remember, so I'll just tell you like it's a new story. But growing up, we had a big fireplace with a deer head on the mantle above the fireplace. And on one side, it was this 30-30 rifle hanging up there. On the other side, there was a muzzle loader. How many of you know that's country right there? And, we had a velvet painting of Elvis over here on the wall beside that one. we were high class. I ain't going to lie to you. But I always wanted that rifle. I would get down and I would get it down and pump that lever, and I mean, there are dead guys still laying, in the spiritual realm all over that hillside. Bad guys, of course. And I played the rifleman because there was a show called The Rifleman on TV, and he would work that lever action. And there's something about Father's Day that I think about the legacy of dads. And my mom's dad died when she was young, and so she pretty much was raised by a stepdad, but I knew him as Pawpaw Pete. And now Pawpaw Pete was rough, all right? He always chewed Red Man chewing tobacco. Always had a big, and every once in a while, I don't know if he like stepped down to Levi Garrett. I don't know if there's a difference in that, but he always had a big chew of tobacco. Always had overalls on. I've never seen him. I'm pretty sure they buried him in overalls. That's all he ever wore. I believe they were pointer or duckhead, one or the other. And just an old country fella. Rough language. Y'all know what I'm saying? I don't mean he said doggone it, every once in a while. I mean rough language. Y'all with me? And loved to fish and hunt, but he wouldn't get in a boat. So we would walk way out through the swamps to get to these hidden lakes that he knew about that we would fish in. Then we would fish off the bank. Just a whole different kind of life. Well, late in life, my mom led Pawpaw Pete to the Lord, and he got saved. And so when I look back at Pawpaw Pete's life, I remember good things. I remember him going hunting and fishing with us and picking at us. It's funny what you remember. He would have his coffee in the morning, and he would take a saucer, and he would pour his coffee in the saucer and blow it and cool it, and that's how he drank it. And I was told that's what those saucers were for, that in case you didn't know. It's to cool your coffee and drink your coffee out of that. But so my mom led him to the Lord, and she said, she really wanted confirmation that Pawpaw got it, After all these years of not being saved and not being a Christ follower, she really wanted to know that he got it. Well, she was with him when he passed away. And now, Pawpaw used to love to plant a garden. Other than hunting and fishing and cussing, he loved to plant a garden. And he would have a big garden down at my uncle's house every year with corn and butter beans and peas and watermelons and squash and cucumbers, literally all of that, and just a big, huge garden. And so when he passed, my mom was right there, and the last words that he said to my mom, whose name is Annie, he said, "Oh, Annie, look at all that pretty okra." Now, from where I'm from, that's okra, okay? Look, and my mom said, for her to know, for him to enter into paradise, the first thing he would see would probably be a nice garden, And so he said, "Oh, Annie, look at that pretty okra. Look at all the pretty okra." Now, my dad's dad, he was always a man of God. I grew up seeing him as a faithful, consistent man of God. He was crippled with rheumatoid arthritis, and he always ran a little country store. He walked on crutches where he would move both his feet at the same time. He could move really well. Very strong in his upper body. Back then, they had clothing, hardware, groceries in this little store, and a butcher counter. And so he would be back there at that butcher counter, and I have seen him reach down, and it was one of those big glass cases, like they used to have. And he would reach down under that thing and just take a whole side of beef and throw it up on the butcher block and cut that thing up. He was a strong man, but a godly man. I never heard him say, compared to Pawpaw Pete, whole different language. Never saw him angry. Never really saw him do anything that I thought was out of character for him. His character was a godly character. I remember as a young boy, since he was at the butcher counter, he would have those long butcher aprons on, you know, those big long white aprons. And he would have one of those on, and he'd be sitting on a stool. He always sat on a stool because he couldn't bend his legs right, so he would sit high up on a stool. And I remember being a little bitty boy, I would come up and he would take me up in his lap. And for some reason, I can remember this, I remember how thick his wrists were. He probably would have been about 6'4 if he could stand up straight. And I remember his hairy arms, you know, just kind of intimate details. And then for some reason, I don't know why he did this, but he would take my little shoes off and he would take the corner of his apron and reach up in there and wipe my shoes out. And I don't know, and he was right to do it, because every time I can remember seeing the dirt on his apron. I guess little boys, he knew that my shoes were going to be dirty. See, legacies that we leave. My dad, I grew up hunting and fishing with. I thought he was a great dad. I loved it. I loved the legacy of the outdoors that he left. He was an athlete when he was in high school, so I was an athlete. He was actually quarterback at the same high school that I was a quarterback at. I read some news clippings. It's funny, it said quarterback Ron O'Brien runs 56 yards for a touchdown, and then it says fullback Ron O'Brien runs for the two-point conversion. So, and he really did. He switched over to fullback and ran the conversion. But things weren't always good with my dad. In my late teen years, there were some things going on in his life. He was abusing alcohol, doing some other things, and I had really gotten angry, and he would get angry with me. And I remember one day he came home. He had been drinking, and he found something wrong with me, and I objected to it and said something to him that I shouldn't have said, and he came at me, and I hit him. And I wasn't raised that way. I was raised that you didn't even say yeah to your parents. You said, yes, sir. You certainly didn't do anything to disrespect them. And I never would have dreamed in my wildest dreams that I would have hit my dad. It's still one of the worst sounds I've ever heard in my life, that. Now, Pastor Keith, why would you be telling us this? Because as I tell you about legacy and I tell you about dads, I want you to know some of us come from some dysfunction this morning. Everybody has some dysfunction in your life. Nobody had a perfect dad or a perfect mom. And you're not a perfect dad. You're not a perfect son. None of us are. But I want you to know this. It's never too late to change. It's never too late to turn things around. I want to speak to you this morning on a message called My Sons. My Sons. And I'm going to show you where that terminology comes from this morning. But first, let's start with 1 Corinthians. Y'all with me this morning? Everybody good? You excited? I want to grill this afternoon for my children. I didn't want to go out and eat with them. I would rather stay at home, and I'm gonna smoke some ribs. Some people crazy out there. I said I'm gonna smoke some ribs today, and they were like, "Smoke ribs?" I'm like, "No, no, on the grill." Well, I mean, what kind of life do you live when I say smoke ribs and somebody pictures smoking a rib? Something wrong with you, all right, Morgan? I wouldn't call any names. That's what I want to do. But look, if your family's taking you out to eat, that's good too. But we're going to have a good day today, and I want you to have a good day, and I want to encourage you this morning. I'm beginning with 1 Corinthians 4:15. This is Paul talking about fathers. He said, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Now I want you to look in Proverbs. You know, we're in a series on Proverbs. I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons. Everyone say, my sons. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction, and pay attention and gain understanding. Pay attention. Thank you. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I, too, was a son to my father. Oh, yeah. I, too, was a son to my father. Still tender. Remember when you were tender, guys? No, man, I was born rough. I ain't never been tender. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me. Everybody say he taught me. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. All right. So this morning we're talking about my sons. That's how Solomon starts off, my sons. And Paul, talking to the Corinthians, talks about being their father. That's an intimate term. Now, I want you to know this morning, ladies, that when I talk about parenting and sons, that includes daughters too. We're definitely going to speak to the men, but we're going to speak to everybody on my sons. Now, Paul in Corinthians, when he was writing, he says, you have a lot of guardians. We have that in society today. We have a lot of men who are guardians, a lot of men who pay child support, a lot of men who gave birth to children, and they work a job, but they're guardians. And Paul said, you have a lot of guardians, but there aren't very many spiritual fathers. There's a difference between giving birth to a child, being a guardian, and being a spiritual father. And Paul said, listen, I became your spiritual father through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am a spiritual father to you, just like as a pastor, I am a spiritual father to you. I'm. Some of you are a lot older than me. Okay, a little bit older than me. But yet still, God has called me to be a spiritual father to you. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So here's what Paul's saying. He says, you need to be a spiritual father. Today, dads, I want to challenge you that in a society where we have a lot of guardians, Paul said you can have thousands of guardians. I want us to see what it is to be a spiritual father. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a spiritual father? Not just somebody who gave birth. Not just somebody who had relations with a woman. Not somebody that just works a job and provides. Not just somebody who does the things that men should do, but there's more to it than that. It's a spiritual father. So what is a spiritual father? First of all, when Paul was talking to the Corinthians, he says this. He says, listen, I'm writing this in verse 14. I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Then he says, even if you had 10,000 guardians, you don't have very many spiritual fathers. First thing you need to know about a spiritual father is he loves. He loves. Paul said, I'm not saying this to shame you. Some of you may not know what it is to have a loving father. I understand that. Male or female, son or daughter. Maybe you weren't raised with a spiritual father in your home that loves. A loving father doesn't keep a record of wrongs. A loving father is not someone who keeps his thumb down on you. A loving father is not someone who withholds affection from you. And that's for men too. There's nothing wrong with a father showing his son affection. Now, all of our children are different. Corbin, since he was this high, huggy, touchy-feely, still doesn't mind giving me a hug. Murphy and Olivia, my oldest daughter, they suffer through it, you know. They'll give you a little, but it's just their personality. They still love. They still understand the affection of a father. Can I tell you today, we need loving fathers. We need fathers that understand their role as someone who shows love. I don't just provide for you. I don't just correct you. I don't just bring home the money. I don't just teach you how to hunt fish or work or whatever it is that we do, but I am a loving father. And Paul shows us this as a spiritual father that is founded in love. One of the great things about love, as I've said, is love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. We don't constantly remind you of your past and your failures. Isn't that awesome? Hey, since it's Father's Day, you could just kind of poke your wife when I said that. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. There's no history there. I gave you that chance today, guys. So not only does a father love, Paul said, you have became my child, my children, through the gospel. So a spiritual father begets. He begets, which means he gives birth to. Guys, what are we giving birth to? If we're a father, we've given birth to children. If you're a son or a daughter, you've had someone to give birth, all right? We understand that biologically, right? Y'all with me? It's so important that we understand what it means to be a spiritual father and what we're giving birth to. Can I tell you, in this society today, we are emasculating young men. This society emasculates. This society wants to take manhood away from men. And men, can I tell you today, it is all right to be a man. It is okay to love adventure, to want to compete for something. It's okay to want to win a prize and win a beautiful woman and live life like men should live life. That's not stereotypical. We are made to be men. And we are made to give birth to something. Not only just to children, but birth a vision in our children. What are we giving birth to that's going to live on beyond us? We all want a nicer house, better cars. We all want a four-wheel drive truck, Z71, dune and brown leather, maybe High Country Edition, but I digress. We all want things. We want to attain things in life, and that's good. We should want that. But all of that is going to go away one day. The thing that's going to last is what I, even if I'm not a parent, the thing that's going to last is what I birth through the love of God, what I birth in the spiritual realm, what I'm going to leave spiritually. Even though I knew my Papa Pete is a rough old man, I can look back and say, you know what he did? At the end of his life, he gave his heart to Jesus. Yes, way to go, Papa Pete. You're a hero. Papa Brian always walked to the Lord. They're in the same heaven. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? It's never too late to birth something real in your life, to birth something spiritual. No matter what your failures may have been, no matter what your past may have been, a spiritual father begets. Not only that, he admonishes. Paul said, I'm writing this to you not to shame you, but to warn you. That's called admonishing. See, when you admonish someone, you are encouraging them, maybe with a warning, but you're not beating them down. And maybe some of us, that's what we know from a father, is being beat down. That's what we know is being discouraged or having someone treat us roughly. Or maybe you don't even know this morning what it is. And this is for daughters and sons or anybody. You don't even know what it is to have that love of a father. But a spiritual father encourages. One of the most powerful things, Dad, that you can say to a child is, I believe in you. I believe in you. Maybe you failed. Maybe I say things that make you feel like you're not good enough and you're never going to do it right. Spiritual fathers, there's a difference between crushing someone's will and making someone always feel inadequate. There's a difference in that and admonishing someone. Even when I preach as your spiritual father, hopefully I warn you. Hopefully I show you a better way. But I think one thing you can say is, I'm not beating you up. I'm not causing you shame. There's a difference between conviction and shame, and a spiritual father admonishes. Today, we need spiritual fathers in our society. We need not just guardians, but spiritual fathers. Here's another thing a spiritual father does, is he sets the example. Paul said, I have become your spiritual father. I want you to watch me. I want you to do what I do. Here's what Paul said before. I don't know about you, though. Let me say this. Guys and moms, I don't know about you, but I have a problem saying follow my example. As much as I want to say that, yes, even as your pastor, man, I can't look at my kids and say, I want you to walk this path. I want you to go everywhere I go, and you're going to have a good life. I'm setting the example for you. I mean, no, really, I don't think anybody in this room can say that, can we? Because we've all made mistakes. We've all veered off the path. So here's what I want to say to my kids. Let me be an example to you, all right? But one example is, don't walk here. I've walked here, but you don't do this. I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be open with you. I'm going to set an example. But here's what you can do. When you've seen, and some dads, you need this morning. okay, you've seen where I have failed. You've seen where I've fallen short. But here's what I've done. I've got back up. I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. And now I can tell you, I'm an example. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm following Christ, and you may see me fall down. You may see me swerve, but you keep your eye on Dad. Dad's going to get back up. Dad's going to hear the heart of God because God has my heart, and I can set an example for you. We need some men that can say that this morning, that will say to their families, follow me as I follow Christ. Even though I've failed you in the past, even though I've made some unwise decisions, even though maybe I've lost respect, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to follow Christ. Watch me, my sons. Solomon says, my sons, listen to me. I've been where you've been. Listen, my sons, listen. I have something to say to you. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 4:1. Proverbs 4:1. Let me find that. There we go. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Don't you wish kids would listen? We've talked about that. Come on. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. He says, I used to be a son just like you. I was tender in my mama's arms. I used to sit in mama's lap. I've been there. Dads, it's all right for us to tell our children, I've been there. I've made some mistakes. I've had the failures. I understand what it is that you're looking to. Moms, the same way. I understand disappointment. I understand pain. I've been there. Proverbs 4:3 is where he says this. Look at how he says it. He says, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. But he says, and here's where we fail in our society. I'm about to say it. Are y'all ready? We have too many mama's boys. I mean, you see them on these shows like The Voice, all right? Is it The Voice? No, American Idol. American Idol. No, don't, y'all taking me wrong. I don't have anything against those. As a matter of fact, we got a guy from Louisiana right now that's been killing it on The Voice. Is he still on there? No, it's done. Okay. Huh? He's good? Okay. So here's what I want to say. Remember on The Idol, I don't know if y'all understand this, where people come and try out, all right? And they'll come on there and sound horrible. I mean, you're like, but they really thought they could sing. I mean, just sounded horrible. And the judges are like, just kill them. And they leave crying. You know why they did that? Because their mama told them they could sing all their life, and nobody was there to tell them the truth. I figured that one out watching The Voice. I mean, The Idol. I figured that one out. Because daddy would have said, no, baby, you need to do something else. Come on, I'm going to show you. Come on. Well, let's play an instrument or something. Let's go build a birdhouse. I don't know, but singing ain't your thing. See, there was never a time that we have generations that have had the tenderness of a mom. And wow, moms, we need that. And I'm sorry, single moms, that it has been placed on a lot of you and a lot of married moms, that it has been placed upon you to try to teach your son how to be a man. And that's a man's job. Can I tell you this, single mom without a man in the house, God can make up the difference. If you sit down with your child and tell them, listen, just like I've had to do about a mom not being there, and you say, listen, this isn't God's plan. God planned for you to have a spiritual father in the home, but since he's not here, here's two things we're going to do. You're going to look to your father in heaven. You're going to find out how to be a man, and you're also in our church life, in our community church life, you're going to see some men that will model manhood to you, and you're not going to grow up lacking because your daddy walked out on us or we had a divorce or whatever. Ooh, that's good preaching right there. My sons, I left my mama's knee. Understand, I'm not discounting the love and the tenderness of a mom, but men, it's okay for us to teach our children to be a man. Listen, I'm waiting for these reveal parties to be politically incorrect. You know these reveal things where they reveal whether it's a boy or a girl? I'm just waiting for somebody to say that's politically incorrect because they don't know whether they're a boy or a girl until they figure out their gender identity when they're a little bit older. Are you kidding me? You laughing, but really? I don't say that with any hate or anger. It's so foolish, it's almost amusing. Have to laugh to keep from crying. So my sons, he says, listen to me. Listen to my instruction. Listen, my sons. I've been there. I left my mama's knee and my daddy taught me. I was taught. Maybe you've missed that. Maybe you've missed a spiritual father that taught you. You know, it doesn't just affect men, it affects daughters too. As a matter of fact, there's probably as much missing in a man's life from lacking a spiritual mother, and there's a lot missing in a daughter's life from lacking a spiritual father teaching. Probably more lacks in both because of the lack of a spiritual father. Read the Bible. We're called to be the spiritual leaders in our home. You want to know what's wrong with America? You want to know why we're in the financial mess we're in? Something that hardly any of our politicians address. That's the breakdown of the family. If we had men being the men that they're called to be, you're looking at someone who's divorced, but if we could abolish the divorce rate and have healthy marriages and healthy families, I promise you our nation would be 100% better off. Why? Because righteousness exalts a nation, and that begins in our homes. He said, son, I've been there. Let me teach you. And guys, here's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to challenge you and give you hope, though. That's why I said you can be an example even though you failed. That's why I told you my family history, and it wasn't so pretty. That's why I've confessed that I've done things that I regret and that I'm ashamed of, and my parents have, my dad has, and his dad, and my mom's dad. But at the same time, when I say I've been there, I can still say, but listen, to my sons, to my daughters, get wisdom. Listen to God. Get wisdom to make decisions that will lead you to life. Get wisdom. If you don't get anything else, get wisdom. Now, there's something going on here in the last days that I want to address in Malachi. Let me read a scripture from Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So he's been talking about the destruction at the end times. He says, before that day comes, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. He says, I'm going to send Elijah to you. I believe that that's the spirit of Elijah that he's going to send to us. I believe it's a spirit that God wants here in the last days. And what he wants to do is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, as a spiritual father, as a pastor, I can tell you one of the most dynamic things that can happen in a fellowship, in a church, at Life Fellowship, one of the most dynamic things that can happen is when the heart of the spiritual father is turned to the heart of the spiritual children, and the heart of the spiritual children are turned to the father. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that we are together, that literally, your pastor to the flock, that we are together, that we are one in spirit. How many of you know we're not always going to agree? All right? Do you always agree? Did you agree with everything your dad did or said? Spiritual father the same way. Do you always think your children do everything right? Same thing with me and you, okay? But here's what we're going to do. We're going to have our hearts turned toward each other with God, and we are going to stay in unity together. And by doing that, we will make a difference in the lives of... You talk about a revival. Why? Because the Father provides vision. The Father provides vision, the spiritual Father. When you receive the vision and we become one in that, the spiritual Father protects. So when you receive warning and I receive from you and we receive from each other, the world, no devil in hell can stop us when the hearts of the fathers are turned toward the children. And I'm telling you, churches that aren't growing, churches that are dying, churches that are ineffective, are churches where the spiritual father has no vision, or the people and the father have had some kind of wall between them, and all there is beating up and religion and all of that kind of mess. In the name of Jesus, Life Fellowship, we will not have that here. Amen. We are going to be one, not because I want you to make it easy for me, not because all of that. No, no, no. Because that's how we will be effective to win this world, when they see the spiritual fathers and the children. Now, also, I believe that spirit is to be in our home. That God is saying in these last days, I want to turn your heart back toward your children and your children's heart back toward you. I want to heal you of the pain from an absent father. I want to heal you of the pain of an abusive father. I want to heal you of that pain. Or, as Trey comes, I want to turn you back to your father's teaching. Some of you did have a godly father. You did have a father that was a spiritual leader, but you've turned. You've turned away from your father's teaching. And Solomon said, son, don't turn away. Not because of me, but because of what I'm giving you is life. And he says, don't turn away. Today is a day of turning. I was sitting in my office praying about the service this morning. The worship team was out here practicing. It was early. It was a little after 7 o'clock this morning. I had all my notes except for the scripture from Malachi. And I heard God speak to me. And he said, today is to be a day of turning. Today is to be a day of turning. Today it changes. Today, you turn your heart back to your father. Pastor, I didn't have a father. I'm somebody that didn't have that. You turn your heart to your spiritual father. Even your pastor, spiritual father, I want to lead. I want to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And God is dealing with me every day to do a better job of that. But I can let you down too. But there is a father who will never let you down. He will show you the love. He will show you how to be a man. He will show you how to be a daughter. Today, you can turn your heart to your heavenly father. You can turn away from pain, turn away from shame, turn away from the past. And dads, today, you can turn your heart to your children and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be the spiritual father that God has called me to be. My sons, my daughters, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to do everything right, but I've turned my heart toward my heavenly father. He's given me his heart. Now I'm turning my heart toward you. And as children, can I encourage you today? If you still live in your parents' home, don't deny the heart of a spiritual father. Men, don't leave your family wanting. Don't leave them wanting. You can do this. Pastor, I can't do it. You don't know how I struggle. Yeah, I think I do. I'm a man too. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Even last night, even yesterday, I understand. You can do this because, men, God's going to empower you to do this. Today is a day of turning. Would you stand with me as the prayer team comes? It's going to take a couple extra minutes. This past week, Benny texted me. My friend Benny, very, very close friend. And in so many words, he was telling me about Father's Day. And he said, I've never told this to anybody. I've never said this out loud to anybody. I'm the only person he ever told. And I asked if I could share this because it was pretty personal. And he said, here's what he said. He said, anything you use for me to give the devil a black eye, go ahead. And so I'm going to tell you, he said, Keith, I've never had a healthy relationship with a father. I don't have any idea what that's like. He said, so he's learned how to try to be a husband and a father to his children. But he says, on Father's Day, I always feel a little weird. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what to do. I always take care of everything. And what if I don't take care of everything today? And then they don't take care of everything. Everything just felt, I want to just put it in this word, he just felt awkward on Father's Day. And he said, you don't have to answer this. This was about 5 days ago, and I didn't. I didn't have an answer. I just pondered it in my heart. And this morning as I was sitting in there praying, I thought of Benny. And I sent him a text, and I said, you know, Benny, your Heavenly Father has identified you. And that's what I was really hearing from him is, I don't have an identity. That's what spiritual fathers give us, guys. They give us our identity. In the Word of God, when you hear blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, when you read about men, they always identify them by telling who their daddy was. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And many of us lack identity because we had dysfunction with our father, or our fathers just, maybe they were even in the home, but they were absent. I said, Benny, your Heavenly Father has identified you. And there's been a generational shift now. And I just encouraged him a little bit. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to serve. I don't know whether to, what do I do on Father's Day? I said, look, here's what I'm doing today. I'm going to grill for my kids. I'm not letting them take me out. I want to take care of them one more time. So I don't know what it's going to look like today, but I can tell you this. Benny's a great example of someone who came from dysfunction. His daddy beat him, cursed him, never had a healthy relationship with his daddy. But he's one of the best dads I've ever met. One of the best. One of the best husbands. Men, it's not too late to turn today. To turn. Pastor Keith, I have so many things I need to change. I'm not talking about change your behavior. This is for ladies too. This is for moms too. I'm not talking about changing your behavior. I'm talking about turning your heart toward God. Then the behavior will change. Turn your heart toward Him. Listen, my son. Listen, my son. Be a spiritual father, loving, encouraging. You can do this, dads. You can do this. Would you just bow your heads? Nobody's looking around. I just want to pray for you. Father, thank you for this word today. We receive it. As our father speaking to a son, we receive your instruction today. I pray and agree with the heart of a man here today that says today is a day of turning, that there will be no curse passed down to another generation. There will be no curse of addiction, anger, pornography, adultery. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse, Lord. Today is a day of turning. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, wives, how many of you would let your husband change? Say amen. Oh, come on. How many of you would let your husband change if he wanted to change? Say amen. Okay. All right. It's like, they don't know what to say. If I say amen, he's standing right next to me, and he's going to think, I think he needs to change. You know he needs to change something. Here's what you can do. Give him room. Treat him like he's a spiritual father. Treat him like he's a king. Are you serious, Pastor Keith? If his heart's toward God and you treat him that way, he will break his back trying to prove he's what you tell him he is. We will. We're crazy that way. You let the woman we love tell us we're awesome, we'd be like, yeah, I'm awesome. Watch this. That's right. You know, we open the door for you and you go, well, Henry, what got into you? You never open the door. That's the last time we're going to open the door. So give us room to change. Amen. In a moment when I dismiss you, the prayer team's here to agree with you in prayer, to share their faith with you. So don't miss an opportunity to pray today. May God bless you. May you have favor on whatever you do today. May it be blessed. Whether you eat out, go home, take a nap, cut the grass, whatever you do, trim the dog's toenails, just be blessed at it. Be favored in it in the name of Jesus. Let the joy of the Lord pervade your heart. Even if you're in the middle of a mess, may there be a window from heaven that opens up over you in this moment, on this day, and you receive the joy of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. I love you. God bless you. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer.